eliminate. Been looking at a scripture found over in Matthew chapter 5, and this is what it says there. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor can anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We've been talking about how we can illuminate. As a kid, my brother was afraid of the dark. We lived on a farm, and it was really, really dark. And we would always have some chores that we had to do after nightfall. And my brother was just petrified. He wanted me to walk with him out there to go to it. But Dad had set up this series of lights. And you go through there and you hit this little turn switch and it would light. And these little floodlights would come on all across there. One night I sat there and says, tonight I am not going with you out there. You're going to have to do it on your own. And he just begged and begged and begged. And finally I decided to watch what he was going to do. Because, I mean, it is pitch black. I mean, you can't hardly see anything out there. And you hear all the little creatures, you know, in the background. And I said, this should be entertaining. And because he could run really fast. So I watched him. And he went as fast as he could there. And you go, click, 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 until everything was lit up. And then I wait around and gets everything going nice and good. Gets everything he needs to done. And I said, now, I want to see, what is he going to do now? You know, when he comes back. And sure enough, as fast as he could, he went click, 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 all the way back. And before I knew it, he was standing right there next to me. And I thought that was so funny. And how hubris that was. He was like, you know, my nephews have the same aversion to the dark. We live on the same farm. They're growing up on the same farm. And when I go to visit with them, they want me to walk them home from a distance, probably from here to the Dollar General next door, you know, because they don't want to walk in the dark. And I think that's part of us, we have this fear sometimes, especially when we're younger, that we have this fear of the darkness, and we want the light, and we want things to be illuminated. And I think what Jesus was talking about there, there's something about our lives that's going to light up this world in which we live in that's so dark. There's a philosopher who wrote a story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but he wrote this story talking about this circus that was in town. And the circus came into town, and as they were getting set up and everything, they accidentally start a fire. And they try to put out the fire, and they can't put the fire out. So they try with all their might to put the fire out, and finally he says, we can't get the fire out, so what are we to do? And he said, I need a volunteer to go down to the village, because I think this fire is going to just continue to spread, and it's eventually going to just engulf the village. Somebody needs to go warn the villagers that the fire's there. And the person who volunteers is the clown. The clown says, I'll do it. Gets on his little bicycle and goes into town. He starts running through town and he screams, run for your lives, run for your lives, there's a fire coming. And he keeps saying that over and over again. Finally, people start coming out of their houses and they start saying things back to him and they start applauding him. And he keeps going, a fire is coming, a fire is coming, you must run. Flee for your lives. They never flee. The fire comes, engulfs the town, kills many people because they did not believe the person who was telling them they need to run for their lives. As I was thinking about that, I think the scripture that we talked about really rings true. I think sometimes we don't let our light shine. And when our light does shine sometimes, it doesn't shine very brightly. And maybe sometimes it maybe turn people away from God. I think he wants us to spread the gospel. He wants to let our light shine. I want to look at a scripture here this morning. And I want to look at it in a particular way. It's over found in Acts chapter 16, if you want to turn there with me. And it's Paul, and he's on his second missionary journey. And when we look at Paul's second missionary journey, one of the things that we remember about that journey so well is that he wants to go somewhere. And the Holy Spirit tells him he cannot go there. Remember, he wants to go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit says, no. And finally he has a dream, tells him he needs to go to Macedonia. And so he goes to Macedonia. And there he meets Lydia. And Lydia becomes a Christian. And along comes this girl that has this spirit in her. Okay? down in there, and she has a spirit, and she's a slave girl having a spirit of deviation met them and starts going, and she can tell the future. And they were making a lot of money from her selling the future. And she kept following Paul around and says, these men are bondservants of the Most High God whom are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. They kept doing this over and over again. And finally, Paul gets enough of it and says, get out of her. Flee. Leave her. Okay? And leaves her. And of course, they get upset, which brings us to where I want us to pick up today. And it's over here in the 22nd verse. And it says, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, this is what I want us to see here today. This verse right here. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul goes on to explain to him exactly what he needed to do. And the scripture says he and his entire household were saved. See, most of the things that we do for God, we do on purpose. We have ministries at this church that we purposely plan, and we try to have a specific reason why we do this, and what we're trying to do, and who we're trying to reach, and who we're trying to help. There's lots of ministries like that. But as I was reading that story, reading about what happened on this missionary journey, I think something unintentional happened. I think Paul and Silas, they wanted to go and spread the gospel. They wanted to tell others about Christ. They wanted to continue to plant churches and bring people to Christ. But in the middle of that, doing what God had called them to do, doing exactly what they think God had sent them to do there, they're picked up, they're beaten, and they're thrown into prison. It probably wasn't what Paul and Silas had in store for them. But while they're in prison, something unintentional happens. See, I think we see here the unintentional ministry of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas came to Philippi to perform their ministry and do what God had called them to do. They had come to Philippi to preach the gospel, to tell others about Jesus Christ. But with their imprisonment came a new, unexpected, unplanned thing. Something they had not anticipated. Something that they did not foresee. I had a friend. He's a missionary to Mexico. His dad and his sons are good friends of mine. His daughter married him, and their ministry is in the country of Mexico. And they're down there, and they're in this little town, and things are going really well. Their people are coming to Christ through their ministry, and then something happens in town. There's someone that is killed. And the next thing you know, there's accusations against the preacher saying he is responsible for the death, for this death. And immediately he's thrown into prison. I remember being at my home church and getting news of that, and everyone is on their knees praying that he would be released. But as he's in prison, something remarkable happened. He received more opportunities to tell people about Christ than he ever had outside of those prison doors. He won more people to Christ while he's in prison. He remained there for several years as they were working through the legal system. Didn't have the money to get him out. So he stayed in there and he evangelized and he won many people to Christ. Not what he intended, not what he planned, but God used that circumstance. And there are a lot of things that come. It happens in our lives that are unintentional. Paul and Silas' response to their undeserved confinement was, poor me. Can you believe? Paul's going, you know, I'm a Roman citizen. You know, they beat me. You know, they can't do that. They can't beat me. You know, and you know what? I'm going to sit in here and I am not going to even pray tonight because, you know what? God should not let that happen to me. That's not what Paul did he? He did not go back and say, poor me, why did this happen to me? I was doing what God wanted me to do. Why is this happening? And that's not what happened at all. We find them in prison, singing hymns, worshiping God. They understood where they were at. And instead of saying, woe me, they said, let's praise God for the circumstance he has placed us in. Instead of cursing God and crying those prisoners, they showed a great witness to those that are around them. We too have choices that we have in our own lives. What are we going to do when the unfair blows of life come? What are we going to do? Are we going to say, poor me, I can't believe this happened to me. Well, I think I'm going to stay in my bed for a week because this shouldn't have never happened to me. We need to look at our lives and see, when the things of life happen to us, are we praising God? Are we still have faith in him? Or are we mad at him because he allowed these particular things to happen to us? But in their worship response to their imprisonment, they ended up performing some unintentional ministry. Paul and Silas sang because of their faith, because Christ had died for them and saved them. They sang because of what he's done for them. They didn't care about the particular circumstance they were in. They probably cared a little bit, but they know God had a reason for the things that were going on in their lives, and they were doing what God wanted them to do. And all the time, through everything they did, they continued to be faithful to God. And he used that. Some unintentional things happened in their ministry. And that prisoner, we have no idea what happened to those prisoners in that prison. Did some of them come to Christ? Scripture doesn't tell us. But we do know that guard wanted to know what he needed to be saved. What made these men different? Why, when they were beaten and thrown into prison, why did they praise their God? Why did they stay in that prison when the doors were open, their shackles were loosed? They could have easily walked out of there, but they didn't. He wanted to know what made them different. And they were able to do some unintentional ministry while they were there in prison. See, we have some unconscious ministries as well. Now, we're not going to live our lives and say, well, whatever happens may happen. You know, let's just do whatever we want to do. Let's have a big party this weekend and see what happens. But most of the things that we do in our ministry, in our church, we plan. We plan what we want to accomplish. We plan what's going to happen here on Sunday morning instead of coming up and says, well, Jeff, what song you want to sing? I don't know what song you want to sing. And we just haphazardly go through the service. No, we don't do that. We plan for that. We plan for our worship experience so that we can draw closer to Christ. And we plan the things. We plan our outreach. We plan the things we do. Because if we don't, we're going to waste resources and waste time. So there's some reasoning why we have intentional ministry. But there's also this unintentional things. Some of our finest and best ministries come from the unintentional things that happen in our lives. See, they flow from us naturally because of who we are and what we're about and the things we do and when we're out serving others. People are sometimes more blessed by overhearing what we're saying and what we're doing and the reason that we're doing it than God is able to take them and take those songs at midnight and bless their lives and change their lives. Like Faithful in the book Pilgrim's Progress. In the valley of the shadow, we lift up our voices because our hearts are strong. And some poor, struggling soul stumbling on behind us thanks God and takes courage to keep going towards that celestial city. You know, sometimes the things that we do and how we act. So the question for us is there unintentional ministry permeating from our lives? Are we living our lives outside of these walls here and outside of this building in such a way that it draws people to Christ? Let's go back to our story we started with about the clown. Is our Christian walk like that of a clown? You know, it's fun, it's entertaining, it's fun to watch. But when it really came to present the message that he really had for them, the life-saving message, would people really believe you? Do they really care about the message that you have? We have the most wonderful message in the world. the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. When Sir Walter Scott was building his estate, he built a little summer house. And it was interesting. He built it near his stables. And he didn't build it there because of the view he had, but because of what he was allowed to overhear. He built that little house near the stables. So, because in the evening, old Peter, a Scotchman who never publicly talked about religion, would in the privacy of his room raise a psalm to God. His voice was awful. He couldn't sing. But in the privacy of his room, he worshiped God wholeheartedly. And Sir Walter Scott wanted to be as close to that as he could because it comforted his heart. No young child starts his life in the morning, each morning, go, I'm going to bless someone today. But through the activities of the day, he normally ends up blessing someone. You know, our finest sermons aren't the ones that we preach, maybe not even the ones we teach, but the ones that people see. What about us here this morning? What is our life like? If we're really going to let our light shine, if we're really going to be the light into this world in which we live, it's got to be more than just the words we say. It's got to be the life that we live. And is our life drawing people to Jesus Christ? This morning we're going to have an invitation hymn. We're going to give an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This morning, you know, if you have faith in Him and you believe in Him and you want to make Him, you want to claim Him as your Savior and accept Him as your Lord, the King of your life, you can do that. But it's all because of the grace of God. I like playing this new game. It's probably been around a while, but it's very popular right now. It's called Dino Hunter. And are you ready for this? You hunt dinosaurs. You know, and it's fun. And I get to play it. And it's easy when you're hunting the ones that don't eat meat, but the ones that want to eat meat, you have to kill them really quick. And so I'm doing my little hunting thing, and I'm trying to learn how to shoot them and which weapon you're supposed to have. And I finally pull up my weapon, and I try to shoot them. And sometimes you have to kill a lot of them before the round's over. And guess what? Most of the time, the dinosaur eats me. And the screen goes red. They jumped all over me. But you know the good thing about that game? I just close out a little section and start again and try again. And that's great. And that's kind of what grace is all about, isn't it? Jesus came, He died for us. And He offers the gift of grace to us. So that today, we can hit that reset button and do it again. Start again. He says, just come to me. Come to me and just set me as your Lord and your Savior. Make me your Lord. Make me your King. And make me your King today. And if you haven't made Him King of your life, you haven't accepted Him, you haven't confessed Him before men, I want to make Him my Lord and I want to accept Him as my Savior. If you haven't done that, today is the day you can do that. He says, go down in the watery grave baptism, have your sins washed away, and then you receive the seal, the Holy Spirit in your life. So that's great. But maybe other people are more like the balloon man. The balloon man. Oh, he loved balloons. Ah, oh, he loved balloons. He had a big group of balloons. He held them in his hands, and he took them everywhere he went. He just loved those balloons. He took them to the bathroom. He took them to bed. He took them everywhere. It was great. He went to work with those balloons. And the people said, well, that's not too bad. It kind of lifts everybody's spirit, so he carries those balloons to work. Hey, he went to a fair one time, and he took those balloons. He fit right in because there's balloons everywhere. And everyone was so happy. He registered to win a cruise. Oh, that would be fun. Go on a cruise on a big ship. That'd be great. So he registers, and guess what? He wins. And he's so excited. He looks forward to that day. He gets all packed. And the day he calls the cab comes and gets him. And he's got those balloons. What is he going to do with those balloons? So he rolls down the window of the cab, holds them out there, and has the cab go really, really slow till he gets to the cruise. He gets on the cruise. Oh, it's so much fun. They take his luggage down to his room. He stays on deck. There's so many people. He holds his balloons. And then the ship leaves port. And then, what's he going to do? The bell rings. It's time for supper. He goes and that little pathway, that's not nearly big enough for all these balloons. I could let go of my balloons, but I don't really want to let go of my balloons. I love those balloons. So he goes back on deck. He remembers there was crackers, and he gets the crackers, and he eats the crackers, and then it's time for bed. He goes down there. They show him his room. He gets down the hallway. But when he gets to his room, who designed this room? There's not enough room for my balloons. He said, I could pop a couple. Oh, I don't want to pop my balloons because I love these balloons. And so he decides to sleep on deck. He sleeps on deck. Day one goes. Day two goes. He's tired. He's sleepy. He's miserable. And then finally, he receives an engraved invitation from the captain. Tonight, you're going to be the guest at the captain's table. Oh, he's so excited. He takes the invitation, puts it in his pocket. He can't wait. And then he thinks about it. What am I going to do? I can't get to the dining hall with all these balloons. Oh, he walks on the deck and he thinks and he thinks and he thinks, what can I do? Then he puts his hand in his pocket and he starts rubbing that engraved invitation. And he thinks, I got to let go of these balloons. And he begins to let go of them one by one. Hand probably hasn't left those strings of balloons in years. And he lets those balloons go one by one. And he goes down into the table and he enjoys the feast at the captain's table. You know, as we think about those balloons and how silly that was, the guy to carry those balloons, sometimes I think in our lives we carry balloons around ourselves, don't we? We have some sins that we really don't want to face. We don't want to address. You know, it might be, you know, the wrong type of friends. Maybe it's sins that we know God doesn't like in our lives and we hang on to them. Maybe it's not hundreds of balloons, but maybe it's one, two, three, whatever it is. It's so hard to let go of them. But we have an invitation to our King's table. He wants each and every one of us to be there. In order to be there, we got to let go of those things. This morning, not only is it time to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's also a time to re-examine our lives. And maybe today is the day we make some changes. Maybe the change we need to look at is, what is our life like outside of this building? Do people really know that we belong to Christ? That Christ is our Lord? Christ is our Savior? Are we letting our light shine? This morning we're going to sing a song, Mighty to Save. I love one line of that says, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King, Jesus, Jesus. This morning, if you have a decision to make, maybe there's balloons in your life, some sins in your life that need to be let go of. It's a time to do that. Maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior. Now is the time to do that, whatever it is. We're going to stand, we're singing, I'm going to be up the front. If you have a decision to make, do it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.